Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother. Cosmonauts.
Would you do my astrological chart?
You know what I was thinking?
You've never heard that song, Red Peter?
No. You know.
Look up Red Peters.
I'm not looking up Red Peters right now.
Won't you do...
You know what song I do like?
How's your hole?
Jing at the family. Jing.
It's Dominic the Donkey.
We've been over this.
Jing at the Jing.
Maybe that's a topic,
Italian
too.
Christmas Donkey.
Christmas songs that we love and hate.
I know you hate it. That's why I started singing. It's
really freaking hate that song.
I think we can all agree on that.
Makes Italians look bad.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, in Christmas time in East Haven doesn't.
But that's true.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's like a documentary.
Dominic the Donkey has no like comedic value. It's just Christmas slapstick.
We don't have a reindeer. We got donkeys. A bubble of jewel.
No, the reindeer could not climb the hills of Italy.
Yeah,
but hey, jingity jing.
There's only one Christmas donkey, and his name is Nestor. Nestor the long-eared donkey. I defy any of you to watch that and not bawl your freaking eyes.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah,
last
year. I think I got
like his mother dies and he has to eat her or something.
No, she. they get thrown out of the stable or barn by the owner because of Nestor's long ears.
He
throws him out. So the mom goes out to keep him warm during the snowstorm, and so she lays on top of him to keep him warm. And when he wakes up in the morning, she died.
So it's like a Luke Skywalker kind of thing.
Yeah, but then Nestor ends up growing up to be the donkey that carries Mary and Joseph.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
the stable.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole angel and guiding star the whole time. And then at the end,
it turns out to be his mother.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hello, and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
Worshipful Brother Ken.
And we're up here, episode 161.
No. Okay, so just to bring people up to speed as to what just happened before we went live, I was telling the story of a show called Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey. It's a Christmas show. It's like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer kind of.
I got it. I was recording while we did recording.
Oh, okay. Because... apparently, I'm getting flipped off from the peanut gallery now because it's a horrible, like, sad story.
Terrible.
It's like the one about the kid who went to buy his freaking Christmas shoes for his mom.
Yeah, I can't listen to that.
I can't listen to that shit. No. Like, no, it's got to go off.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Or how about the one where the dude, like, hooked up with, like, his ex-girlfriend? They were, like, in the car drinking beer or whatever, and then he drove off and never seen her again.
What?
The hell's it? I can't remember the freaking.
Sounds like an Are You Afraid of the Dark
episode. Yo, it's on.
I thought freaking... you were going autobiographical there for a moment.
No, the fuck. No.
I don't know.
No, I can't remember what the hell it was.
What? Say this again?
I'll find the song and I'll let you know.
Oh, it's a song.
It's a song. Yeah. It's like Auld Lang Song or something like that, but it's.
Met My Lover at the Grocery Store?
Yes,
that one?
God.
That Leo Sayer or not?
Met My Lover at the Grocery Store. Yes. Oh, God.
Nope. Don't know it.
Yes, that one. That makes me sad. I'm just like, dude, get over it.
Yes, I forget.
Move on.
It's not Leo Sayer. It's like
Peter Fogelberg. Yeah, that's it.
Is that who it is?
Yes, that's him. Anyway, episode 161, we're talking about Cowan's Eavesdroppers and, in quotes, Sonic Creepers. Lodge Creepers.
Lodge Creepers.
And we're going to get into that first. But first, we got some housekeeping to do. Joe, yes. You got likes.
I got likes. I got lots of likes because I had them ready to go last broadcast, but for whatever reason.
We got on our tangents.
It happens.
As we do.
So we're going to surprise that it took him a little while to actually like the page. But good old Uncle Jack Farkas.
Yes.
Gotta have illustrious brother.
Illustrious brother.
Jack Farkas. Dominic D.
The donkey?
It might be Dominic.
Dominic the Donkey. Jiggity jing.
Continue. You all. Lynn Colony Munns.
All right.
Not Colony. Lynn Connolly.
Connolly.
I pulled a George. I'm sorry. Stephen John. Frank Mangiero. Rick Neveling. Kurt Miller. Brett Nix. Michael Gusweller. David Alexander. Alexander Purvich the Fourth. Jai, J-A-I, Jai Everlin, Thomas Mott, Stephen Whitaker, Chantrell Gladney, and Tony Mick, MC. No, so he's, I'm assuming he's Irish and dropped the rest of his last name, but Tony Mick, we'll call him.
We got Instagram.
All right, fire away.
All right, we got quite a few, actually. Dylan Wells, Shannon Goodwin, Craig Usry, Inwell M, Calvin Knight, Josh Mantello, we know him.
Oh, we know Josh.
Walter J. Crow, Chuck Wells, Ivan Gosper, Miko, or Lady Miko, sorry. Aaron McGoldrick.
Worshipful brother here.
Nisi and Nate Tyndale.
All right, my turn. We have Larry. This is off of YouTube. Larry Gentelli. Oh,
there we go.
Jantajias.
Let me see.
Jantajias? Where are you looking? Midway. Larry Jantajias?
Gervais?
I would go with Jant Cheese.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Mike Sobra? Rick Fisher? Bama Hack? And there's a bunch of numbers, but we don't need to do that.
Oh, Nick Saban. Listen.
Proco 30? Uniform Pigeon 14?
Nice. That's a great title. That's Uniform awesome. Pigeon.
Stop like that pigeon.
And Kui Kai Wang? I think we'll go with that one.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, anyway. Even if it's wrong, if you said it really confidently, stick with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sticking with it. Kenny, yeah. You've been absent.
Noticeably absent.
Lead it.
You missed when I brain farted on how to do the toast.
Oh. Oh, yeah. He fumbled it.
You know, as soon as you mention things like that,
it's crash and burn. It was bad.
Okay.
It's amazing, but it was bad.
All right, brethren. Right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim. Fire, good fire. Fire all. Together, brethren.
Vivat, vivat, vivat.
I like the coffee mug.
Snowman cup.
Put it down. It's like a depth charge, like from a submarine.
It is. Nice so you blast it all over the table and then.
Or something.
That's why I go nice and easy. But anyway, I got my snowman mug. I don't want to break it.
No, frosty.
Go nice and easy. Frosty. I don't want to blast it all over the place.
Nice. Anyway, moving on.
Speaking of Masonic and stalkers.
Continue.
Speaking of Masonic stalkers, Greg Schultz.
Oh, hey. So,
Uncle Greg.
Lunatic is on. Greetings Lunatic as well.
Friends.
And all right, so let's get into it. We're going to talk about Commons and eavesdroppers. Uh-huh. So I guess we could start off with the intelligent part of it, about what is a common or an eavesdropper, and then we'll get into some of our crazy stories.
Yeah.
So Ken's in like what?
What?
The area that your lodge is.
Oh, it's a town plot in Waterbury.
Mizzle mess?
It's not that bad. It's actually a really nice part of Waterbury.
Yeah, like it's a very residential neighborhood. Yeah. I was kind of surprised when I was there that it was like...
It's not like, we're not in a bad area or anything. We just have a very kind of diverse... No.
I mean, it's
Waterbury. Melting pot. Right. Not melting pot. I guess that's probably the wrong term. But we got, there's people from all walks of life and different... mental health states.
Do you guys hear that shovel digging the hole?
Yeah, I'm trying to dig myself out of the hole.
But it's like
I didn't mean diverse as in like
I know what you meant.
Ethnically, I meant like we are there's a variety of human beings all crammed together into a very small space.
But if you did to describe it in a way that people can picture the neighborhood that it's in, it's like an old school neighborhood from like the 50s or 60s where you had a neighborhood within that neighborhood. You had the church right there. You had a school right there. Mm-hmm. And it's like church, school. House, 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 house. Like kind of set up like that. Not
yeah. And they're big old houses, modern. Like very yeah. nice old kind of architecture, and they're large houses. A lot of them are subdivided, but they're very, very nice, like architecturally nice yeah. houses up on
top. And you see those like in New Haven and Bridgeport, you'll see those turned into like yeah. law firms.
I mean, this is New England, so I mean, a lot of like homes that. Are really
yeah, old, no, it's, so. I was actually somewhat surprised. I'm like, I'm going to Waterbury Lodge. Oh, this is actually really nice.
Yeah, it's up on a hill. It's not like yeah, down in a valley. So.
I don't fear for my life. It's cool.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about what a Collins or an eavesdropper is. And we'll let you take this one because you could probably put it more eloquently than I could. So
So the best way to describe a Cowan, it's an old term. It's left over from the Stonemasons Guild. So to put it into modern terms, if you were a union worker, you know, you're a union guy. Mm-hmm. A Cowan would be a scab, a non-union sure. guy, somebody who hasn't gotten the training, is pretending to be a union worker, in that case, pretending to be a stonemason that that had achieved, had done his apprenticeship, his journeyman, and his master.
So a fake, you would say.
So it's a fake, yeah. A fake. Yeah. But it's somebody who pretends to have a certain, almost like stolen valor. Mm-hmm. In a way.
Similar to a Clandy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it really had to do with pretending that you had a skill set that you don't have. Like, think of the gypsy guys that come and want to pave your driveway. No, like they're out there.
Or they knock on the door.
Hi, we want to sell you a roof.
No, get away.
We're doing work in your neighborhood and we're just wondering if. Yeah, go away.
Yeah.
Had right, so that's what a Cowan is.
Okay. And thank you for that, because I had no idea.
Yeah.
I really didn't know. And I've never researched the Cowan. I just know it's part of ritual, and I said it.
Did you know there's actually a fine? There's a law on the books in Connecticut where you can be fined for impersonating somebody from a fraternity that you don't belong to.
Really? This is state law?
Yep.
No kidding.
It's on the books. It's kind of like a blue law. It's really enforced anymore. But yeah, if you're driving around and you have a square and compasses on your trunk and there's a police officer who happens to be a Mason, he happens to know about this law and wants to be kind of a...
Would that actually stand up in court, though?
Well, it's a fine. It's like a... I don't know if it's a criminal probably penalty. I don't think... It's like a civil kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of
thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You could plead not guilty and fight that, and then the judges will probably throw it out.
Douche. Unless that judge is a Mason.
Unless that judge happens to be a Mason. But anyway, I just, you know, interesting little factoid about Connecticut.
Interesting. I did not know that. They won't enforce that, but they'll enforce masks. Bastards. Moving on.
Here we go.
No, moving on. And eavesdropper. Eavesdropper is pretty self-explanatory, I think. It's just somebody who's trying to look in the lodge or get wind of what's going on inside. It's somebody listening at the door along those lines.
So eaves are historically like a part of a structure, part of a house or a building. So he's kind of sneaking in the shadows and the crevices of the building to kind of sneak a peek and try to hear what's going on.
Right. Both of these, that's what the Tyler's job is. And I guess for lack of, I guess you'd say the junior deacon as well, right?
Yeah, he's the inner guard.
He's Tyler's the inner guard, I guess you'd say.
Yeah,
Tyler.
The tag team, yeah.
In a commandery, that's usually your sentinel. It's another name for basically a Tyler, same thing.
Great Judas Priest song, too.
What?
The Sentinel.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's a good one.
I was like Turbo Lover.
Off the Defenders of the Faith album. That's
a good one. Don't sing it. We'll get banned on YouTube.
For my voice, not for the song. What do we got? We got some stories about people who
I think we do, probably from both classifications.
I think I want to keep Ken to the end, though, because his stories, like, I'm intrigued. I might go
pour another more too. They're
might,
weird.
That's what I'm saying. I might pour one. Morningstar Lodge. I can't, again, in our two locations that at least I've been in, I can't think of anybody. We had one guy who did pretend that he was a Massachusetts Freemason, and he befriended a couple of the Masons in our lodge, and he played the whole, yeah, I'm a Mason, but I don't remember the signs. Where's your dues card? Oh, I don't know. Now, mind you, this is all prior to Grandview, Amity app, all that stuff, so really was no way of verifying. So technically speaking, our lodge should have tossed him out on his ass.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways, but it's more complicated
than
pulling up an app, yeah.
So That's really the only story that I can think of a person who came to our lodge and tried to get in or anything like that.
So this guy wasn't a clandestine Mason. He wasn't a part of any Masonic body. He just pretended to get in.
We couldn't prove that he was or wasn't.
Oh, okay. So it's
so he unknown. Kind of clung to the lodge, kind of was hanging around all of us. But then when we started pressing him, like, you know, well, when did you do this? Everybody knows their Masonic birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know when you were raised. Yep. Right? You remember what happened. Like, so we started pressing him. Well, do you remember, you know, what happened during this degree? What was said to you during that degree? I mean, Freemasonry is pretty much ritual, universal, state by state here in the States.
Yeah.
And unless you're from Scotland.
There might be some slight variances because, like, New Hampshire uses a Scottish form.
Correct.
For theirs, I believe Rhode Island is loosely based on some Scottish Freemasonry as well. So certain phrases might be
but generally different, the same.
But right. It just might be a different old word, almost like a change in dialect versus a change in content.
You would know. You would know the difference between somebody who's never been through it and somebody who's been through another jurisdiction's
ritual. Right. Yeah. So he was hanging out with us and all that stuff, and then, you know, we started challenging him and pushing him. Be like, oh, well, what happened here? Well, I don't remember. Well, how do you not remember? And it just got real shady, and then one day just gone. Never came up. Never. Yeah. I mean, we weren't at this point. It was where we were kind of like, well, until you can prove you can't come in the lodge anymore. I think he got in once. I mean, it was a business meeting. It's not like he's seen anything, you know.
Well, opening and closing.
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, there's no obligations being done. It's opening and closing, and yeah, I mean, yeah, we could have probably gotten in trouble for it. I mean,
I'm telling.
Whatever.
Yeah, no.
I ain't the boss no more. Wasn't on my guy
now, baby.
The only active member of the Grand Lodge in the room, I must inform you.
Call Brewer.
Cut the feed.
It was on his dime. It was on his dime, not mine.
How quickly you throw him under the bus.
Oh, you heard it backing up. When we started pushing him, eventually he just stopped coming. And we eventually got to a point where we told him, like, listen, unless you can prove by either dues card or Tyler's oath or, you know, however, and we did give him the
Tyler's oath. Or you can tell us what lodge you belong to, and we contact your secretary and verify your membership in said lodge.
That's what we were trying to do. I can't remember. I haven't been to lodge in X amount of time. I can't
remember the name of his lodge.
So that's our flag. Yeah. At that point, when we started really pushing the issue, he just gone. And we never heard from him again. That's pretty much, I think, the only time we've ever had. Even here, we have never had anybody try the door, try to break in, or do any weird shit. Because I know we're all devil worshippers and baby killers, right? We've never had any cuckoo birds come, you know, kick the door in or do anything stupid, deface our sign or anything, and. Probably wouldn't be a very good idea with this lodge, but some of the things we've talked about, we did have a potential break-in.
That was a couple
months ago. Somebody tried freaking pocket knife.
That was during the summer, right?
That would be the eavesdropper
variety. And actually, the bar downstairs got broken into as well, and they actually popped the register open. So it was a hit and run of the entire building, from what we could tell. Obviously, didn't get in here because. Whoever the cat burglar wasn't too ingenious. He must have been from Home Alone because they're trying to pry the bottom lock when there's a big giant deadbolt above that that goes into a metal frame door. So
it's not
and the work. Door is solid oak. So, good luck.
It was a crime of opportunity.
So one of the things, I just want to go over security things and then we'll get into Mr. Joe if you got any interesting stories. But a couple of security things that I think are good for lodges would be, number one, get some cameras, one by the door, or, you know, if you got a big building, get a security system of some sort.
Super cheap now too.
Yeah,
there's a company, like a startup out of Silicon Valley called Wyze, and their cameras are like $20 for the ones that you plug in and like $30 for the ones that are completely wireless, and you can stick them on anything. I mean, there's really no excuse
now. Arlo, I think, is another company.
Arlo is good too. They're a little bit more pricey, but I mean, you could do it for cheap.
Yeah, so security systems would be, and again, depending on the size of your building, you could even hire a night guy. The New Haven building down there, they got they call him a custodian.
Really?
He's on duty majority of the day.
Like in the old days, the guys that are like
the night watchmen,
they got like the rent-a-cop uniform on. They got the flashlight.
He's not a rent-a-cop guy. No. He's a custodian. He does, you know, cleans up the lodge rooms and everything. And okay. But he's also there for at
security.
Night,
right?
Yeah.
For you know, or during the day for you know, just to kind of hang around the place.
Yeah, you know, it's in a large city. You know, New Haven's one of the largest cities in Connecticut, so that makes sense.
Sometimes just having a presence there deters people. Are going to be like, yeah, I'm not going to break in there,
right?
Because it's not worth. Either getting A, if he's an armed guard, get shot, or B, somebody, you know, getting an identification on me and getting your ass arrested. Mm-hmm. And the third option is just get a big Rottweiler for the lodge and just put him outside the door and just what? It's a security system, right?
I've got a more pragmatic.
You
got to
clean up after him. Yeah.
Not if you got a big Rottweiler. He'll just eat him whole, and then you won't have anything.
Put Messner out there in a sandwich board. That'll scare people away.
With a charcuterie.
By the way, I did. He did get one vote for secretary last night.
He almost won junior warden last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a big. So
we'll talk about that offline. You
know, no, we can talk about it real quick. The secretary part of it.
Well, yeah, the secretary.
So there was 11 Masons last night. Again, we have to keep our numbers down low. So we only had, what'd you say, primary
that's
guys.
That's why
there.
I didn't want to show up.
Right. And we had like 11 guys there.
Yeah, 11. Okay. Well, we had 12, but one was a EA and couldn't vote. Yeah.
So we had 11 guys there, right? Now, I've said I don't want to be secretary. I'm hoping that Rafferty takes over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said I would stay on to help Rafferty, to coach him into his thing. So first vote comes in.
Five.
And so one. Five for Rafferty.
Five for you.
Five for me. One for Messner. You want to guess who the Messner vote was?
Messner.
You want to guess who the Messner vote was?
It was Messner.
Oh really? I'm like, you son of a himself. I look right at him, I'm like, you son of a bitch. I
that. That's messed up. He was the tiebreaker, man.
Yeah, but Rafferty is now the secretary. Congratulations, Rafferty.
Well, I just figured if great. I you know, I like to
Ken is the assistant secretary.
I like to punish Messner.
That's like not even Messner. a real position.
It is actually.
Jesus Christ. I have no financial acumen. I don't know how to do basic math.
That's treasurer. Luckily, you're the secretary. Assistant secretary.
You still have to count things. I don't know how to count.
Dues?
Yeah. You'll do fine.
Anyway.
That's why you're assistant.
I've got one other pragmatic physical security measure
okay.
that you can do pretty cheaply, and that's just put lighting around your lodge.
Yeah.
So that's something that we found out, and we don't have cameras, but we have a security system. And after we installed that, we were like, well, and a couple other things happen, which we'll get into later. But after that, we're like, you know what? Why even bother messing around with cameras when we can just replace a couple of these fixtures, take some fixtures from one side of the building and put them on the outside. So it's the entire property is now surrounded by this like blinding, you know, high pressure sodium light.
Right.
And we didn't see people, you know, wandering around the lodge at night after hours when we were getting out of lodge anymore.
I have another
idea. Where it was an issue before.
Right. Especially that back parking lot, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's dark back there.
It is. And that's where you need lighting.
There's like one street light and it's pretty weak. And, you know, people, there's some wandering sometimes up from the valley.
Another idea.
We'll get into it later.
What you can do is, if you have somebody who watches the night building, just give them a laser pointer. And the minute they're walking by down the street, you just take the laser pointer and aim it at them.
Yeah, but unless you're looking down at yourself, you don't see like the dot. You know, it's not like you see the laser going.
Well, that's why
like
you
the movies.
That's why you make sure you jiggle it around.
Jiggle it around. Right.
Or shoot it right in the eye. They're like, what the hell?
Like, what the hell was that? They look, and then
I'm sure that's assault. I think putting lights up is probably a nice, you know, low liability.
Apparently, and I saw this on, I think I was on Instagram, like Reels, which is their competition for TikTok or whatever. But apparently, there's some kind of laser pointer that you can get that is really hot. So when you shine it on somebody, it like kind of burns them a little bit.
That's screwed up.
Yeah. But they kept doing it to these people and just walking down the street going, ah!
Probably borderline illegal.
Probably. But it was funny to watch. I'm just saying. They're trespassing. I'll get
it. I don't condone any of this. Just put some lights up outside your lunch, right? A couple cameras. You're good.
Or if you have a grass area, just tie down fart balloons when they walk.
Or just, they must make
I'm going to go with the Rottweiler.
They must make paintball things with glow-in-the-dark paint in them, right? Slap a laser pointer on a paintball gun. And then not only do they see the laser, but they're getting hit with fire. Like, pah, pah, pah. And then they're glowing, so you can find them.
We're all joking. I just want to be clear about this. We're joking. This is all comedic. Please don't freaking do this to your lodge.
None of us do this.
With the exception of the serious
metaphor.
Stuff.
It's all metaphor.
Metaphor. Yeah. But seriously, I like the Rottweiler. Joe, let's go into your... what's going on with you? What situation have you had?
Let's see. It was 3 years ago. It was more than that. It was my second term as master, so 2016. And we had this guy that wanted to petition the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
And called my junior warden, called my senior warden. And they're like, hey, what do you want to do? I'm like, have him call me. Like, let me talk to this guy. We'll set up a meeting. We'll do what we have to do. Very kept avoiding us. Didn't want to give it. We're like, well, we'll send you something. What's your address? Didn't want to give us his address. It was always, I can't receive phone calls. I'll call you. Kind of deal. And come to find out, we end up getting some more information on this guy. Come to find out, he had already been petitioned two other lodges in the state and did not get voted in.
Wow.
So I did my due diligence and made a few phone calls to these lodges and spoke to the master, and they all got the same weird vibe. And it turns out, I joked around about this before when we were talking about Cowan's, the guy was one of those gypsy asphalt guys that would show up, do all the driveways in the neighborhood, charge you this crazy amount of money.
Oh, that's fun.
Use substandard products and then just take off and leave, because we actually found some complaints against his business on the Better Business Bureau. Like, there was a trail there.
Oh, yeah. So he was
definitely... So, and then we set up little obstacles like you did with this. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, meet me here at this time. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't show up or cancel last minute repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, yeah, just we pretty much told him, don't bother submitting it.
Yeah.
Petition. Funny thing is, he then went to another lodge.
Wow.
And actually petitioned a lodge up either Brookfield or New Milford area.
Really?
And I knew the master there, and I called the master and said, hey, look, this guy, here's this, and let me save you some time.
Right.
He was going to petition our lodge. He went through this whole thing. I called the other masters of the lodges that did not vote him in.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, my God, I'm so glad you called me. We're about to vote this guy in at this upcoming meeting. We took his petition. We did an investigation, and we were going to put him through.
Holy shit.
So it was just like everything was weird about the guy. It was just, you get one of those feelings where something's just not right.
Right. And, you know, you will get people who come through and actually make it into a lodge, and they're just using it to manipulate the system, similar to the business practices that you're talking about. And that's all it is.
Exactly. It's an additional network. It's a new audience.
Yep. Mm.
Weird. Yeah.
So let's get into Mr. Kenny. He's got like, what, 15, 20 different stories about...
I've got a couple that I think I can actually talk about.
You can talk about all of them. Come on. Come on.
Well, I've got two that are actually relevant and really good, and I think will resonate with our audience.
Okay.
Put it that way.
All right. Fire away. Right.
So we had one gentleman, must have been four masters ago. We had this individual who was lurking around outside of the lodge. I think it was after a meeting one night. We had all gone out, and, you know, a couple of us were enjoying some cigars and maybe a glass of scotch out in the back porch at my home lodge. And this individual comes walking up to us in like a wife beater, you know, like a tank top shirt and a pair of shorts. And it's probably 23 degrees Fahrenheit out.
And he's sweating.
That's usually a good sign.
Well, he's very animated, right? And so he comes up to us, and he's got a very thick Russian accent, Russian, Ukrainian, you know, some kind of Eastern Bloc kind of
accent. My name is Ruska. You want to fight me?
Yeah, well, no. My baby. And he was like, he's like, oh, is this Masonic Lodge? I'm like, yeah, this is a Masonic Lodge. Are you a Mason? And he's like, oh, I want to meet the master. And we're like, okay. I mean, are you a brother Mason? Like, he's like, oh, yes, I was Mason in Russia. And we were like, okay, well, you know, we'll have to verify that. Obviously, if you're a brother, you're okay being, you know, you're okay working your way into a lodge or being right. investigated. Like, that's part of being a Mason. So we're like, all right, we're going to have to ask you some questions. But, you know, the master is right over here. You can go talk to him. And he runs into the lodge. I mean, it was just, you know, the master happened to be walking up the stairs in the back of Army Lodge.
Wait, so he bolted into the lodge?
Well, just into, not into the actual lodge room, oh. but into the, like, foyer, right? Yeah, right. We were just outside the door. And he runs up and he's, like, kissing his ring and, like, yo, you know, like, on his knees, like, oh, master, and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, you know, I'm not going to say who the brother who was master at the time was, but... You know, he's like looking at me, and he's one of those guys that's always, you know, also armed.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, don't shoot him. He just wants to talk to you. I didn't know he was gonna like bow down and try to like kiss your boots and stuff.
Oh
so,
my god, that's funny.
Yeah. So that individual, I think he came back around a couple other times. I think he was just wandering around the neighborhood that time of night, every night. And you know, when we were meeting, he would roll in and try to. But yeah, he was clearly not a Mason.
No.
I don't know if he believed he was or whether he was just trying to make new friends. I don't know whether he was a Cowan or an eavesdropper, but it was, you know, we all had some funny stories from our friend Yuri.
Well, let me, if I can just quickly on top of that, you know, when you're at your Masonic Lodge, like even downstairs, we go downstairs, we're out on the front porch, we're, you know, smoking cigarettes or hanging out, just getting fresh air, getting out of lodge.
Mm-hmm. Smoking cigarettes, getting fresh air.
Yeah,
a little bit of both.
Well, not everybody goes outside and smokes.
I know, so. I'm just saying.
If especially sometimes we go down in our Masonic regalia, right? Just because we're at refreshment, you know, we're not going to just take all of our shit off to go downstairs for 5 minutes to come back upstairs. To put it all back on. So we just go downstairs in it, right? Can't get in trouble with it. You know, we're not going to get in any type of trouble with it in Grand Lodge or anything. It's, you know, you're just outside.
Yeah, right? If you're just stepping out the front door of the lodge for a minute, it's fine.
I would implore Masons to be very situationally aware of that because there are people out there that actually believe truly that we are evil people. Mm-hmm. We know we're not, but. Just be situationally aware of your surroundings when you're out there, because and the reason why I bring this up is because at least me, first thing I'm thinking of is if a big Russian guy comes up to me in a tank top in 23 degree weather while sweating.
Big. He was very skinny and short.
Plays into my point even more. If he's skinny,
it's still a little weird.
Yeah. 23 degrees out with a tank top and sweating.
He grew up in Russia, George. Right. Freaking cold
or heroin or something along those lines. So
Ken just thinks he was acclimated to the cold weather.
Right? Yeah. I mean, maybe if he's from Siberia, sure. You know, no, but in all seriousness, like, and people sometimes in that particular state of mind are unpredictable.
Yeah. Fair point there.
So just be careful. That's all. We laugh up here. We're up here laughing about it. And it's funny, especially when Joe's French guy comes by.
Oh, I love him.
Blasted out of his mind. We do have the neighborhood walker who's...
We've embraced him as
a friend
of the show.
We have?
I have.
But, you know, he'll be walking around the neighborhood. He's got his sandwich, and he's, you know, as he's eating his sandwich, walking down the road, the food may be... potentially falling back out of his mouth because
that's true.
And he doesn't necessarily walk the sidewalk. It's more of a zigzag.
Swagger. It's a swagger.
It's as if he's evading a sniper.
It's just swagger. He's cool. He's got swag.
At any rate, like we know him, right? And we know that,
Well, and here's the thing.
He needs to be inappropriate.
But he's, I don't think he's the town. Well, he might drink a little, but I wouldn't say he's the town drunk. Because the reason why the guy is there is we're right across the street from the train station, which now they shut down some of the service and it's a Peter Pan bus.
Right.
Guy's going to and from work every day. So the guy has a full-time job that he shows up to, and he's just
a taste tester.
It's just a simple man trying to make his way through the galaxy.
Two roads, taste tester.
But I was really sidebar. Like we made a little name for him. Like we think his name is Jean Louis, or I wanted his name to be Jean Louis.
I think
Joe is named him. He doesn't even have a name.
No, he does. It's James.
James.
So
right, that's what it was. James.
I think Jean Louis.
So I'm like, no, you're Jean Louis.
That's right.
I'm not calling you James. You're Jean Louis.
Scott Blanchard, situational awareness is good advice for all lodges with the current conditions in our country. That Tyler probably have something better than a dull sword. Yep. I'm a huge advocate for that. Mm-hmm. And when you go into, here it's not too bad because, we have our main door right here. Because, obviously.
Yeah, you've got a good security lock on
the
door.
We got a pretty decent door on here, so you're not booting that thing in. But, how many lodges, how many times have you been in lodge and the building's wide open and all just in one room?
Yeah.
With an 87-year-old Tyler who's just sitting there and could just about keep his eyes open. The importance of the Tyler position is much more important than I think lodges put credit to.
100%.
Because
in a lot of different ways.
Because he is the eyes and the ears outside the lodge. And if you're tiled from within, that's fine. But as long as your outer door is locked, you should lock your doors. Lock up that building.
Absolutely.
I've seen it multiple times where, I think it was a lodge actually right up the road during lodge. There, somebody walked in and stole a bunch of shit while they were in lodge.
Really? Yeah. Sometimes people forget to lock the door before they go upstairs to the, before the meeting comes to order. So, I could see that happening. But yeah, I think you're right. You need to prioritize that kind of physical security, especially nowadays.
Which also makes me think that there should almost be something outside for the Tyler, like a little light switch or something where, God forbid, something's going on and he senses something might be a little bit off. He can just flick that switch so everybody inside knows. Here you could all hide in the chamber of reflection if you needed to. There's nobody getting in there.
Right. No. Well, you ain't getting your ass out either.
Well, eventually you will.
Yeah. Another thing that another lodge actually, Shepherd Salem, I'll give them credit. They actually have a door chime. So when you open that bottom door, that thing goes, bee-doo! It's annoying during lodge, but in the event somebody's coming up to start some shit, you know that somebody came in. So now that key's off the Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
That if he's tiled from within and sitting inside a lodge,
he needs to go check it out.
He needs to go check it out. And so that,
and that actually happened to me because I showed up and did a associate grand almoner's presentation for Jack and the lodge there. And I was,
showed up late, didn't you?
I did. I was about 15 minutes late. Well, he called me the night before and said, hey, can you come tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to be about 15 minutes late.
Oh, at least
so they knew.
You were just avoiding getting stuck in another chair, weren't you?
No. I don't mind being, helping out. I just don't want one permanently assigned. I'm in that second level of the lodge, just putting my apron on and whatnot.
Right.
And Tyler came down and I was like, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned around and purple.
You famous.
No,
I don't need any help putting on this apron.
That's not what I did. I was like, oh yeah, I'm here to do the presentation.
Gold sparkles, right?
I did a twirl, like a runway twirl.
Spirit fingers, shit.
In case you didn't know, I'm kind of
him doing.
In case you didn't know, I'm kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Jazz hands.
I don't need any help.
No, but they help. He came to. He must have heard that. Now it makes sense because I was wondering, how did he know I was here?
Yeah,
it makes sense with the chime now.
Now, mind you, the Shepherd Salem Lodge also has ghosts. So there's many times where you'll hear dee doo, and then they walk down the stairs, and there's nobody there,
or just bad electrical.
But you should have some sort of a system besides Tyler screaming help.
Right.
That keys the lodge off that there's something going on outside.
Just as it could be a simple switch. Light goes on above the senior warden that the master sees. And, that's actually a really good idea.
That is a good idea. Like a panic switch for the Tyler.
Yeah. Mm. Just, hey, heads up.
Warning. Bullshit alert. Yeah.
Because the Tyler might, God forbid, it's like a real threat. Tyler's not going to have time to call.
Right.
Yeah.
911 or something. So if that switch goes on, you hit your little button
which
on your phone and...
I get what Brother Scott's saying here about the dull sword. Yeah, we're also not going to be swinging our freaking Beowulf sword over the ear either.
But just imagine somebody coming up those steps and there's Elwin, but it's like somebody else at the top of the stairs with that big sword just going. Ah!
Let's be real.
You're going to turn around and
leave. You don't even have to be a gun guy. Granted, we're gun guys. So obviously, our preferred weapon of choice would be
wrist rockets.
Like
you have the high ground.
Yeah, you can really use pretty much anything.
You have the high ground.
A dull sword will work.
Don't do it, Anakin. I have the high ground.
Can you see Joe as a Tyler dressed as a Native American with a blowgun just out?
It really, it doesn't
know. Blow darts down the stairs.
With me, it would be like the that last scene in Rogue One. It's just all dark, and then you just see the red lightsaber go. And it's like Vader messing everybody up at the end.
But in all seriousness, I think that the Tyler outside should be armed with more than just a rusty old ceremony sword.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I would say at least pepper spray or bear mace.
Something.
Some sort of deterrent.
Even if it's like one of those sonic things. That just like just pierce your not literally pierce your eardrums, but it's like a sonic alarm that's very uncomfortable.
Oh, good question. Worship Brother Greg Schultz, can a master close a lodge in emergency?
Absolutely.
Form? Yep.
Maybe it's not, and he's a past master, right?
Greg Worship, Greg Schultz, yeah, he's worship. He's a past master.
Yeah. So there's pretty much.
Is there a form for that, or is it we're closed? Bang. Well,
you can immediately put the lodge on refreshment, and
you can do that, or you can just pull the. I don't want to get into the past master's ritual, but like when our grandmaster will sometimes close an ample form.
Yep.
There's that's
good enough. Yep.
There's a portion. You don't have to do the whole thing. You could just do a portion of it, and then we're closed.
Yeah,
I've done it.
I mean, if it's a real, real emergency, I think Grand Lodge could overlook us all running out of the lodge. But yeah, if there's like,
it wouldn't take more than 2 seconds if you have a senior warden who's alert. Right,
it
is the proper way to do it. But if the place is on fire, or like a real emergency, I might omit that. Yeah,
depends on what you constitute as.
Yeah,
like imminent danger, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, just run.
So. I think the Tyler should be, and I would even go as far as the junior deacon, be armed with some sort of instrument of defense, if you will. Joe, what else you got? You got another story? Oh, no, we were done.
No, that's Kenny. Kenny had a couple.
That's right. Okay.
So we've talked about Yuri.
Yep. Yuri. So we did talk about Yuri. There's one other gentleman. I keep calling these guys gentlemen. I don't know why I do that.
Because you're a nice guy.
You're a nice
too polite of them.
You're nicer of the three.
So I mean, there was another
better than say douchebag. I mean,
another person of interest.
Yeah.
Who apparently we're guessing he probably found all of our phone numbers by finding the trestle board or going on the lodge website, because we publish our members list in Freemasonry. Most lodges do, certainly in our jurisdiction we do, and of course all the phone numbers that are on there are our cell phone numbers.
Yeah,
so this
I don't particularly agree with that, if I may.
Maybe I should get a burner phone or something.
No, I think retrospect. That I don't think any of our numbers in a fraternity should be listed whatsoever, except on a locked form such as Grandview.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it should be published on any piece of paper, any type of, not even home addresses, none of that shit.
Oh, our addresses are certainly not on there.
Well, phone numbers. I mean, you could look up an address by a phone number.
Well, yeah, like you could,
it's not that hard.
You could Google my phone number and
it'll bring up an address.
It'll bring you to the Grand Lodge website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm listed as the secretary.
But I think that any type of personal contact information should be in a closed you have to sign in type format such as Grandview or something along those
lines. I mean, that's a legitimate concern.
Or you have some kind of third party administrator, sorry Ken, where goes to Grandview and then they send you the notification, and it's almost like a PayPal setup where you're always talking through this third party administrator
kind of. Anyway, continue on, Ken. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
So but
you got your numbers.
You made a good point. I think we probably need to look at that from now on, because of what I'm about to tell you. So this person of interest, shall we call him, took all of these phone numbers and put them into a group text, and then sent random pieces of scripture. And obviously, like, we're Masons, right? A good number of the brothers that are officers in that lodge whose numbers were included in that group text are Christians. Mm-hmm. We know scripture, but it was just random chunks of scripture. Right. So at like 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, all of a sudden there'd be like, you know, a couple paragraphs from, you know, Ecclesiastes or something like that. And we were like, well, who is this person? What's going on? And of course, a couple of the officers of the lodge are law enforcement officers, and we're able to like find a little bit of information on this person. And he's He does not seem like someone who's interested in Freemasonry. He seems like someone who may be under the influence of some of these unfortunate conspiracy theorists that have been putting all these weird anecdotes out about Freemasonry being devil worshippers and everything. And he, I don't know, I think he thinks he's doing the Lord's work by sending us scripture randomly in a group text, but
let me please interject on this one, because this has happened actually on YouTube. Please don't send scripture things. We're not devil worship. We're not devil worshippers or baby killers or any of that shit.
Yeah,
and realistically, I could probably rattle off more scripture than you.
Yeah. You realize we're going to get a whole bunch of scripture pasted on YouTube now.
I'm just making a point, though, of, you know, if you got nothing nice to say, walk away. That's the what?
Christian? Yeah, you don't have to be involved.
Or just send one of us a message.
What's the Christian thing to do?
If you've got a question, just ask us a question.
No, but seriously, like, you know, there's no need for that shit, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, this guy was clearly just based on the intuition of the law enforcement officers that did a little bit of research. Like, it's clear that he's not all there.
A couple sandwiches short of a picnic.
Possibly, yeah. So there was also an incident somewhere thereafter, maybe within a week of that assault of group texts, where a dead animal was left on the front steps of the porch, which is in pretty poor taste, and never had happened prior to that. So we kind of associated that with this individual. I don't know if it is related, but it's a pretty good bet, I think, that it is. So
it would be safe making to us say,
a little weirded out.
So it would be, is this fairly current?
Yeah, it's recent. I'm not going to say exactly when.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yep. Here's what I would do, and this is just me, and this is me thinking outside the box. I have to. Okay, what I would do is, if you found this dead animal, which means that this guy is probably from the local neighborhood and is expecting you guys to find it, might even be potentially watching you guys.
Well, we know who the individual is based on his cell phone that was sending the group text.
Okay,
we just don't know if the two are related.
You would surmise that this guy, if he was the culprit, is probably watching.
It's possible.
So the next time you get a dead animal, I recommend going to the store and getting a piece of beef and actually making a little fire in the front of the lodge on the ground and roasting it on a spigot. That'll freak him out real bad. But, holy shit, these guys are real.
I was thinking more of like setting it. I remember, you ever see those things where it was like there's like a roadkill squirrel or something, and they like somebody leaves like a little card. it's like, you know, get up and keep fighting. You know, you're fighting the good fight. Like, it's okay. Don't lay down on the, you know, like that kind of thing where they're trying to encourage this poor dead animal. I was thinking something like that, right? Where like we have a little service for them, or maybe we
could even do
set him up and give him a can of beer,
a vigil, or a
shot glass.
Like a vigil. Yeah, go to a Masonic funeral service for it.
Yeah, we put a couple candles around. And say, like,
put like little stuffed animal squirrels around.
Yeah, exactly. Like
a shrine almost. Yeah. Like, you know, a couple 40s, one for me, one for my home.
You could even take one out of Monty Python and Search the Holy Grail, build a little trebuchet, and shoot it across the street.
Nobody watches.
Run away. Yes, they do.
Get up.
Keith Noonan's watching.
Keep on trucking.
Anyway, so in all seriousness, that is disturbing when that happens.
It's a little weird, yeah. I mean,
it's a little weird. It's unsettling, because especially being in a lodge and not knowing, you know, being in the room when you guys are actually holding ritual and not knowing what may be potentially going on outside, all the reason to get a security camera, an armed Tyler or a Rottweiler.
Technology's there.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to push this Rottweiler.
You are going to push this Rottweiler. But you're better off getting one of those Belgian shepherds, Samoyeds or something like that. They're like
the Coonhound ones that make real loud.
No, they're Belgian. They're similar to a German shepherd, but they're Belgian, and they are the nastiest freaking security dogs you will ever come across. Like their handlers have a hard time handling them. They're that intelligent.
And in all seriousness, though, camera would be good. Definitely lock your doors when you're in lodge.
I mean, I'm a big proponent of Tyler being able to perform his duties, right? So it's not like, I don't consider it to be a ceremonial position. If you've got somebody who's 85 in bad health doing the Tyler's position, you're doing it wrong.
And I'm not talking about like the Tyler or the guard from like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
No, it doesn't have to be anything crazy.
He should be relatively young.
Able-bodied.
Yeah. I mean...
Because one of your duties is keeping off all Cowans and eavesdroppers. Mm-hmm. If somebody can overpower you, then you probably shouldn't have that position. Or you should have some other kind of physical security measures in place so that you can't be overpowered, right? Door locks that, you know, aren't just for appearances only. Right. The ability to lock the inner doors in the lodge if you need to, things like that.
Definitely lock the doors. I mean, Don't forget, lock your house when you're in there, right?
That should be the Tyler's responsibility. Nobody should ever forget to lock the doors because it should be on the Tyler's checklist, I think.
Worship Brother Greg Schultz. We lodge eavesdroppers, wives, and girlfriends back in the day. Not sure what that
means. He didn't
take wives and girlfriends used to like eavesdrop on the lodge?
I think it's got a question mark at the end, so I think he's asking.
Were lodge eavesdroppers wives and girlfriends back in the day?
Yes, so maybe.
Yeah,
potentially. I mean,
he must not have taken his pills yet.
I mean, I don't think. I think things have changed in that conspiracy theorists have fueled a lot of people that have mental health issues, and I think that's what's causing a lot of the kind of Cowan eavesdropper thing that we're seeing now.
Would you consider like religious zealots to be a mental disorder, though? Because there are some people who are very diehard in their faith.
Not necessarily.
Where they think they're doing the good work. And
just misdirected, misinformed.
You know, they're on a mission from God, man.
They're just misinformed.
It's dangerous, though.
But back then,
never mind.
I mean, any religion. If you really
anything you take to excess can be dangerous.
There you go.
Water can be dangerous. You can drown.
Hypotroxemia.
Yeah, you can drink too much water.
So it's you know.
No, but I mean, you can pick your religion. There's
extremes in any. Yes. That take it to mean a little bit more.
Right.
I'm going to tiptoe around the whole religious thing.
That's fine. I'm just making a point that, you know, when conspiracy theorists put this shit out there that we're evil and we're taking over the world and we're the new world order and we're the elites. I'm not elite.
No. Yeah, we're not some like extreme.
Like you're fueling this fire of people who are actually thinking they're doing they're doing the good work. Like, oh, we got to stop these guys. And realistically, we're just coming up here to,
yeah, you really
drink shitty coffee and alcohol and hang out.
Do charity work.
One way to ensure charity work. Yeah, I'm sorry.
There's one way to ensure that you're going to see him sooner than planned.
Just went that way.
But one way to ensure you might see him sooner than planned, show up and pull that crap.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that anyone who's thinking about doing something like that, think again.
Joe played the tough guy this time.
Yeah.
No, I mean, cop. I was good cop.
I'm all for 100%. Right. Like, honestly, my first instinct was like
Michelangelo.
With the Ken situation, is I'd set up a sting.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If you
like.
Describe. You
undercover operation and try to catch this guy leaving stuff on the doorstep.
Yeah.
And then you just freaking ambush him.
Yeah, but then it's assault on, you know, then
only if you get caught.
I mean, there are legal ways that we should go about this.
Come on now. And you know how that would be fun. Masonic Lodge beats the shit out of a bystander walking down the street. Yeah, probably not a good move.
But I think what Joe's saying is correct. If you are thinking about, you know, oh, you have to come and save us somehow, and you're going to break into a lodge to do it during a meeting, just realize that, you know, we all are not necessarily fearful. I don't want to say fearful. We're all cognizant of the fact that there are people like this out there, and we're protecting ourselves from those people.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Don't be stupid.
Because, and we have superpowers.
Yeah.
And
also our rings can shoot lasers.
So. Yes. We have superpowers. We are half reptilian after all.
And I mean, you got a nickname last night. You want to tell Ken what your new nickname is?
Joey Bats.
Joey Bats.
Joe. Like
a baseball bat?
I
am now the chairman of the trustees.
So he said,
I'm in charge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Nice. We kind of replayed that. We replayed that scene from Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah.
Kids need braces? F you. Pay me. Lost your job? F you. Pay me. Can't find the mail? F you. Turn over the trustees report.
And when there's nothing left to be in, we burn it down.
So, but I recruited
a
member onto my trustees, and that would be one Mr. George Mudry got voted in as trustees.
Well, congratulations to you as well. This is a high honor. You have a huge fiduciary responsibility to your lodge. Don't screw it up.
Call me a douche.
Fiduciary. Look it up.
It's like it's an entrusted position.
He said, "If you douche, I'm like, what?
You have a financial obligation."
Fight words.
That's built on like trust and
holy cats. Samuel Colt would be a top rated Tyler. Yes, yes, he would.
Connecticut guy
again.
Yep.
Again, I'm a gun advocate. I'm all about being personally protected at all times.
Hey, guess who got appointed Tyler in my lodge for the ensuing year?
You.
Yeah, that's right. That's me.
That's right.
So there, at the very least, install a one of those battery operated doorbell things. So you have a button on the outer door, and you can put the chime inside. God
forbid. Yeah, like a Ring doorbell.
Yeah. Well, no, like a cheaper Home Depot, like one of those.
Yeah, the electronic freaking wireless ones. You could put them at Home Depot for like what, $11-$12
Yeah, exactly.
They're cheap.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get a couple of those little things, I think, and just donate them to the lodge that way.
So I just want to be clear.
I'm going to do the same at my mother lodge.
I'm not advocating for if you get picked as Tyler to show up like freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando.
You're going
to
go Rambo.
Yeah, I was going to say Rambo, too. Nobody wants to be Arnold in Commando.
Just making a point. Don't. You're not.
I'd rather be Jesse Ventura.
You should be. I've always been you should be subtle in what you have, and no one should have
anything. Oh, yeah. You definitely don't have
until they need to know. So, and I mean,
this is not the lodge you're looking for.
I just want to be.
That's why you're telling me what security measures we have.
I just want to address this point to this is that not everybody who's going to be arriving at your Masonic Lodge door may be there to cause harm. Right. It might be. Hey, I want to be a Mason. Hey, what's going on here?
Exactly.
Or I'm visiting from another state.
You got to kind of don't pick somebody who's going to be a Tyler. And again, I think Tyler is one of the most important chairs in the lodge, my personal opinion. Which is why many lodges pay the Tyler. Yep. But the Tyler should be somebody who is pretty even keeled. You know,
Just somebody who sits outside during a meeting and doesn't get to like participate in the degree. That's not what it's about.
You don't want a meathead open the door, but what? Like, you know, that's not what we're. Right.
Yeah. We want to be welcoming and inviting, exactly. But we want to be smart and safe. So,
you guys got anything else for stories?
I do not. You got to catch none that I want to tell right
now. He's doing the raised eyebrow thing.
No, I'm just thinking. Pensive.
He's computing.
I mean, we've had other little incidences like
that. Sounds like the old printers.
It's like the daisy wheel dot matrix.
Dot matrix.
Yeah. He's got the prime directive flashing in the back of his head right now.
No. I mean, there were a couple other incidents like the Yuri incident. And I think, like you, we had one gentleman come in who, in our case, he thought he was a Mason, but he was a clandestine Mason. He was part of the Grand Lodge of Miami or something. And like he legitimately thought, like, I'm part of mainstream masonry. Here's my dues card. And like on the back, it says, you know, his last dues bill was like $500. And he has like insurance. And I'm like, I don't think this is
right.
Ancient free and accepted masonry or free and accepted masons. I don't know what this is. And it turns out that this individual was a Klandy and didn't even know it.
Well, there's a couple. Members of my mother lodge, Ashley Raspatuck, that came about the lodge the same way.
They actually joined because
they were able to get the grandmaster involved.
We had to
kind of, I don't want to say pardon them, but they had to denounce and give up any membership of the lodge they were in. Because once they found it, they didn't realize it was clandestine. Yeah. Like, no, we want to be part of the legitimate thing. Mm-hmm. How do we take those steps? I'll tell you off air the name. You'll know the name.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before. We had a guy, too, that was same thing. He said he was an international Freemason. No.
Yeah, you can't be a member of both, but if you want to be a part of, you know, the ancient free and accepted Masons of the state of Connecticut, there's a path to do that. There's just a checklist.
Same thing you had to do, denounce. That's one of the main things.
Yeah, you can't be a member of both.
Correct.
That's all I got for any type of...
This was fun.
Yeah, we're right at that hour.
We're at the hour part, and... I said, you know, I just guess we can go over in seriousness this time. I won't horse around this time, but the security things of your lodge, you should be number one is always situationally aware of your surroundings. Walking into lodge, walking out of lodge. I mean, I'm big on it no matter where I am, but that's neither here nor there. But especially during a lodge. Again, I mean, I think somebody said, especially nowadays. I mean, yeah, I would say it's probably more elevated now than it's ever been with worry of people trying to harm Masons. Just because you have social medias, you have YouTubes, you have internet, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
I would say if you're going to compare it to like the 1970s or 80s, you know, there was no internet. It wasn't in your face. So,
yeah, I mean, if you've got motion lights around your house for security purposes, put motion lights around your lodge.
Right.
Same kind of thing. Right? Yeah, like simple. Same principles apply.
Security lights. Again, situationally aware, security lights lock your damn lodge doors when you're inside.
Don't make it an afterthought. Make it a.
Nope.
A priority, an item that has to be checked off the list before you can open lodge.
And make sure, another thing you can do is cameras. Some sort of a way that, you know, Joe, I think you said it, was to make some way to communicate, hey, you know, shit's going to hit the fan out here or something, right. You know, a doorbell alarm or something like that. I think these are all great ideas.
Panic light.
Switch, yeah. That's all I can really think of. Just, you know. And lock your cars, too. If you're going in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the lodges, where was it? I want to say, was it North Haven? I think it was in North Haven. They have their building.
East Haven?
Not East Haven. It was in North Haven, but like, I remember I went there for something. I think it was somebody's installation. And I pulled in, and as you pull in, they had free and accepted Masons, you know, on a sign on kind of like a wall. Like what do you call it? Like a retainer wall or whatever.
Okay,
it is.
Yeah.
And they had their sign there, and it said "Free and Accepted Masons." And somebody had, you know, spray painted over it said "You're not free" or something like that. So, just be aware that even in the nice, quaint town like North Haven, it could happen. So you don't have to be in the big city. You can be in the backwoods of, you know, some small town that this can go down. So
there are crazies out there. You don't have to be uber paranoid about it, but just know that. You know, you're part of a fraternity that has a little bit of a spotlight on it because of these individuals. So.
And understand it probably wouldn't happen. I mean, Ken's got the good stories, which is funny, but really, if you think about it, if you have a lodge inside of a big city, the chances of something actually happening to your lodge, I would have to say, are probably slimmer than out in like Ashlar Aspetuck, which is out in the freaking woods.
Yeah, usually
because
city it is, but it's right across the street from the police station. That's helpful. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying, though. Like your lodge is off in the boonies.
Oh yeah, it would.
So if there wasn't a police station right there,
response times, and then by the time people would know what was going down, there's a pretty big lead time.
Whereas in Ken's case, I mean, there's a ton of shit around, and it's a city. There's people walking.
Somebody would see even Shepherd Sam. A little beard dandruff. I can't put enough oil in.
No, but I would be more cautious if you live out in the boondocks or even the suburbs or something. Because, again, the probability of somebody, you know, I don't even say attacking, but let's just say like defacing your lodge. I mean, because realistically, breaking a window or, you know, or spray painting, it's damage. It's shit that the lodge
and like you said, like our lodge, Ashlar Aspetuck in Easton, is up on a hill. And
you have the high ground, Anakin.
We do have the high ground. Yeah, but up until last year, the front lights were on a timer. And once, like, you hit the switch as you go out and you have, like, 5 minutes and then all the lights shut out.
Right.
Now we've installed some solar powered lighting that's there. Mm-hmm. One, it was to bring attention to the lodge and show the community, hey, we just put all this money into the exterior of the lodge. Mm-hmm. But there's a security aspect of it too. And we added some, we had motion sensor lights that haven't worked for the 10 years that I've been a member there, that we finally had a brother electrician come out and get that rigged up for us. So yeah, lighting is a big thing. Cause otherwise, you know, in a town like Easton, where there are no streetlights.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's when it's dark,
a lot of dark.
It is dark. There's not a lot of ambient light coming from a lot of places. So, yeah.
You got anything, Ken?
No, that's pretty much it. Just be safe.
Joe?
That's it.
I think we're good then.
Yeah.
I got nothing else. I want to thank all you brothers for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. So, for the Freemasons podcast, I am Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Get a Rottweiler. Have a good one.
Get yourself a Rottweiler.
Belgian Malinois.
Malinois. Thank you all for tuning in. Malinois. Thank you, YouTube.
And smash that subscribe button.
Smash that like button.
Smash it.
Smash it.
Oh, God. Huh?